All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are recording and broadcasting. Please, you are able to start the meeting.
Okay, very well. Okay, good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday, February 3rd, 2021 meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Ray Russell?
Here.
Vice Chair Jeff Lee?
Here.
Chair Linda Austin.
Here. Okay, may Karen, would you please do the honors and the flag salute?
Gladly. Will you silently follow along with me with the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Thank you very much. That brings us to agenda review. Is there anything anyone wants to change or?
No, ma'am.
Anything with the agenda? We're all good. Okay, then we'll move on to public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Is there any public comment for items that are not on tonight's agenda?
I see no attendees. So I would say no public comment.
All right, well, thank you. And that brings us to the consent agenda, the approval of the warrants and the meeting minutes of January 6, 2021. Is there any questions or comments on the agenda or the warrants? Any have? No from anyone? Is there open for public comment on the consent agenda? Still have no attendees?
There's still no attendees, so no public comment.
Okay. Then we have no discussion. Someone want to make a motion that we approve the warrants and the consent agenda as presented?
So moved.
And seconded.
Okay, all in favor? Aye. All right.
Aye.
Consent agenda passes 3-0. We'll move right on next to our action items, which is the review of the bylaws for discussion and revision. So I believe we have Mr. Collins. Did you want to talk about what we had talked about at the last meeting?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. I'm prepared to discuss I'm sorry, go ahead.
About the rotation, is that one of the things we wanted to straighten out on this agenda, on this, the rotation of the board members?
Yes. So the bylaws require that we review these and that the district's council present them annually. And so that's what this item is for. But because we discussed at the last meeting, the need to amend the bylaws or the potential for amending the bylaws to indicate a regular rotation for who will chair and who will vice chair the meetings as the director and as the vice director. I'm not sure, what's the proper term here?
I think it's chair
vice chair.
We discussed doing a regular rotation. That way there's no confusion and everybody knows what's coming and there's some order and some predictability to this. So the entire bylaws are before you in your agenda materials for tonight. I have looked at them and I've discussed with Jeremy briefly where we could insert some language that would impose a nice clean rotation for who serves as chair and vice chair. And if the board is willing, I'd be willing to suggest that we amend section 1.4 to read, "The vice chair and vice chair of the board shall be elected annually at the first meeting in January of each calendar year or at the next regular or special meeting if directors have not been timely designated by their respective agencies." That's how it currently reads. So I would propose to add language as follows. "The election of chair shall be made in accordance with the following rotation. One, the Oceano Community Services District. Two, the city of Grover Beach, and then three, the city of Arroyo Grande." And then immediately following that, I propose that we would add language that says The election of vice chair shall be the person elected to serve as the chair the preceding year. So that way there's no confusion as to who serves as the chair and who will serve as the vice chair, and it will just go along in this rotation. What I tried to do in selecting this rotation at the outset is to make it match what we've currently done in the last few years, so that way it's as fair and as equal as I can make it in terms of who gets the burdens and the blessings of doing these particular duties as chair and vice chair. And so that would be the scope of my report. Other changes to the bylaws, now is a good time to discuss those if there are any.
Okay, thank you, Keith. So what do we, anybody want to go first on the proposal that Mr. Collins has made on the?
I've got a question.
Okay.
Keith, is there any, because we didn't publish the language, do we have any, does this have to come forward like an ordinance does? Or do we just adopt what we said in tonight?
Yes, yes. We don't need to do this in a formal ordinance. This is something that you can just direct based on what we discuss, and you can order staff to make these changes. And then we'll bring back the changes at a later meeting.
Got it. Okay, sounds good. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I just had one question, if you don't mind. And so I just want to make sure that I understood it. So basically, the way it rotates is currently Oceano, then Grover, then Arroyo Grande. And subsequently, AG will be the vice chair, then Oceano, then Grover. Is that how I understood the language?
So the vice chair will be the person elected to serve as the chair the preceding year. So next year, you, Mr. Lee, will be the, I've got this backwards. Next year, it will be you who serves as chair, Mr. Lee.
Sure.
And right. The next year, the vice chair will be Mrs. Austin. Whoever served as chair the preceding year will serve as vice chair, kind of like a demotion. I had to decide whether or not to make the vice chair kind of prep for it as the vice chair and they ascend to the chair, but I did it in reverse.
Okay.
So then the following year, there would still be Arroyo Grande.
Arroyo Grande
would be the chair.
Right.
Arroyo Grande be the chair.
Even though I was the vice chair.
Yeah, and then I would be a member in the following year.
Am I understanding that correctly?
I believe you are.
Okay.
So it's going gotcha. In the order okay. It is right now. So it's Linda right now, it's Jeff next, and me after that, or our cities or whatever. So it's just following what we've just done.
Okay. So the vice chair is going to ascend to the chair, and then the chair... Well, actually, not the vice chair may not ascend to the chair.
The vice chair will not ascend to the chair.
Will not. Okay, gotcha.
But this is up for discussion. If you'd like to have it that way, we can certainly amend it to be that way. I had to choose one.
And I think that works. I'm good with that approach. I did have one very minor, just logistical question, and I apologize to Keith and to Jeremy for not bringing this to your attention before. If you look on page 14 of the agenda package, it's section 4.2 of the bylaws. And I'm anticipating that the Brown Act elements that Governor Newsom has put in place supersede this, but it says in item 2, unless otherwise directed by the chair, public comment shall be presented from the podium. Obviously, we don't have a podium on Zoom, so I don't know if we need any clarifying language or if the note at the top of the agenda provides that relaxation.
It does. The note is from the agenda incorporating the most recent governor's order regarding public comment would apply notwithstanding this conflicting language in the bylaws.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all I had.
So do we want to go through these, or is everyone read through and comfortable with what the bylaws are now? I just had one question if we have, because of the Zoom meetings, I don't know how much longer, if there was anything that had to be changed to accommodate for us being in a Zoom meeting.
No, we certainly could amend the bylaws to reflect the current situation, but they're temporary orders that the governor has issued, and it wouldn't make sense to amend them and then amend them back once these things are over.
Are there any other sections of the bylaws that anyone wants to bring forward?
I have reviewed them and I have no proposed revisions.
I think they're all great. So I think then I'll entertain a motion.
If we could solicit public comment before.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'd like to open it up for public comment, please.
I still see no attendees.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we've had no public comment and we'll bring it back now for a motion.
And I'll make a motion that we adopt the changes to the bylaws as discussed, with the caveats that I'm seeing in the staff report that it will come back to a future agenda on the consent calendar for formal adoption. So this would just be effectively direction, correct?
Yes.
Correct. There's no, we don't need to vote. Can we vote on this? Or?
Yeah, a vote would be appropriate.
Okay, then do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, could we get a roll call vote, please?
Director Ray Russum?
Yes.
Vice Chair Jeff Lee?
Yes.
Chair Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, moving right along. District Administrator and Plant Operations Report.
So. Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. I'll start with the report, but I did want to note that Michael Jones is off tonight. And so the later part on the plant operations report will be presented by Mike Arias, our shift operations manager here at the plant. It's his first time presenting to the board, but he graciously accepted Michael's offer to sit in on his behalf. And so I just wanted to introduce Mike before I got started. While the agenda is light this evening, activities at the district have been quite busy with redundancy starting up. A couple items that we've completed since the last meeting. We received final concurrence from the U.S. Department of Agriculture on January 11th. We held our pre-construction meeting on January 22nd. We issued our notice to proceed to Philance on January 25th. As part of Philance's mobilization, they have several plans that they have to submit. And so staff reviewed the construction management plan, the quality assurance manual, the site logistics plan, and the work sequence plan provided by Philance. The construction agreement has been fully executed. Our bonds and insurance are complete and on file. We received conform drawings from Kennedy Jenks, and the conform drawings are what bring in all the addenda that were issued during the advertising process and incorporates those into the plans for construction. Also attended on January 22nd, a meeting with the community workforce coordinator and all the various trades, establishing what portions of work, starting discussions on what portion of work the various trades would have in the construction process. So that was fascinating. They actually said that we didn't have to participate. The district didn't have to attend that meeting, but I did want to see what, how it went down. And it's kind of cool how they assigned the different work in the project, and the meeting was productive. I think they were going to have a subsequent meeting after that. Central Coast Blue construction and it says here mobilization has been made to the injection well site, but even since then they've started some of the preliminary construction of installing some visual screening and noise walls to protect the adjacent properties. So that work is commencing, and the PISMO is moving forward with that construction effort. Couple miscellaneous items. I think I noted this last time. SEIU, our collective bargaining union here at the plant, our MOU will be expiring later this year, and so we will be commencing negotiations. The union has reached out and said probably in April, so I just wanted to make the board aware of that. And then I provided a response to some community questions raised at an OCSD meeting. Those are attached at the back of the plant, the district administrators and plant operations report. Those three questions and answers are attached at the back. There's no plant tours. Some tentative items next month will be a relatively full meeting. We'll be presenting our first quarterly update on the redundancy project. I want to give your board an update on moving the district rates and charges to the county tax roll. And so NBS, our consultant, is preparing a little PowerPoint presentation. I am in conversations with the city managers, the city manager at AG, and the public works director at AG, and then the public works director at Grover, working out some of the details as we move forward with this. Also, I'll be bringing back the discussion on the USDA financing cost and the savings and expenses that we incurred. And that's to finalize the discussion on whether there's any merit in discussing rate modifications for the disadvantaged community of Oceano. And part of the accounting will be done with this next item, which is the mid-year budget review. We'll kind of be looking at all those costs, and I'll be able to present a thorough understanding of what our costs were and what our savings were by pursuing the USDA loans. But at this point, just based on the rough numbers, there does not appear that there is substantial savings that could be passed on to the residents in Oceano. And we're talking pennies per month, and that doesn't even include all the costs we've incurred to get the USDA funding. So that should be settled, and I should be able to elaborate and give your board at least a discussion on whether that should be pursued or not. And with that concludes my administrator's report, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions, Jeremy? No questions. Great, thank you very much.
Okay, and with that, I'll turn it over to Mike Arias to give the plant operations report.
Okay.
Good evening, members of the board and all other participants. My name is Mike Arias. I'm the shift supervisor here at the district. And our plant operations report is for the reporting period of January 1st to 27th. The district's facility exceeded its NPDES permit limit for daily maximum fecal coliform on January 6th, 2021. The Regional Water Quality Control Board has been notified. All other processes were within permit limitations. The exceedance, fecal coliform daily maximum, the district exceeded its NPDES permit for daily maximum fecal coliform bacteria. On January 7th, 2021, district laboratory staff recorded a daily maximum fecal coliform bacteria value of 8,006 MPN per 1,000 milliliters for January 6th. The cause of the exceedance was due to the district performing quarterly maintenance of the chlorine contact tank. The district performs quarterly maintenance by way of draining and rinsing all 8 CCT serpentine channels. We do this 4 channels at a time. This is the first occurrence of exceeding the district's daily maximum fecal coliform bacteria limitation while performing the CCT quarterly maintenance. To prevent reoccurrence, the district will be updating its standard operating procedure for performing the CCT quarterly maintenance by changing the order in which the CCT serpentine channels are drained and rinsed. In addition, laboratory analysis will be performed during the next maintenance event to ensure proper disinfection is occurring. Fecal coliform analysis results have returned to within permit limitations following the exceedance, operations and laboratory staff will continue to monitor our process to ensure proper disinfection is occurring. For this period, our operation and maintenance tasks, we repaired the laboratory water bath, checked and marked underground service alerts, cleaned and organized storage area under the fixed film reactor, repaired an access door on a mechanical bar screen washer compactor, performed an FFR flush, drained and cleaned the chlorine contact tank, welded hard surfacing on new loader bucket, located a water leak and repaired a failed coupling, did a troubleshoot of our water filtration system, troubleshoot of the reclaimed water filtration system's pressure differential switch, exchanged influent pump pressure gauge from a 60 PSI to a 30 PSI, and operations staff met and reviewed preparation for a large storm event. Work orders completed preventative maintenance for the forklift, our Wacker 6-inch trash pump, all clarifier drives, Amiad filters, the loader, and the plant sumps. In addition, we inspected digester number one, vacuum pressure relief valves, exercised both effluent outfall pumps, rinsed down surfaces of all clarifiers, deragged primary clarifier sludge pumps, flushed our sodium bisulfite header, replaced desiccators in electrical panels throughout the plant. Training during this period, staff participated in training on hydrogen sulfide, operating a new plasma cutter, as well as avoiding slips, trips, and falls in wet weather. There were three call-outs during this period. On January 10th at 5:50 p.m., a reclaimed water low pressure. January 11th at 1:14 a.m. was the exact same alarm, reclaimed low water pressure. And on January 18th, 5:50 p.m., reclaim water, low pressure. Our digester number two cleaning project, an update on that. On November 9th, 2020, the district began the digester number two cleaning project. The project consisted of the complete clean out and rinse of the digester's interior. Following the completion of the clean out, the district's construction manager, MKN and Associates, performed an evaluation of the interior and exterior of the digester to evaluate the need for repairs. Based on the observation and recommendations of MKN, staff is deciding to move forward with performing repairs prior to returning the digester to normal operation. Below are photos of the contractor's setup and the interior of the digester after clean out. And that concludes the plant operations report. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Any questions?
I just have a quick one.
Sure.
With regard to those callouts,
yes.
Is it total coincidence that two of them happened at exactly the same time of day?
It is possible. It is very possible. So those particular alarms, we have the CCT, we use water, we recycle, reclaim water in the plant and reuse it in the plant. And that operates a lot of our equipment, operates pressure, our water seals for different pumps. And so what tends to happen when we get this particular alarm is that multiple items will start to function at the same time. So it doesn't happen all the time, but there's just certain times of the day when everything seems to happen at once. And what may have happened were the multiple pumps started to cycle at the same time, which requires more water pressure, which lowers the overall pressure at the system. So yes, this is not necessarily a coincidence. And in going through the system, you can see that they're about a week apart. We had two that were basically the same evening, and then another one about a week apart. And there were two different issues. We had a pressure differential switch that was becoming clogged. That was the first thing that we repaired. And then there was also a pin internally that holds the drive shaft together. And that was another source of the issue. And since then, everything is running properly. So we feel that we've identified the current issues we're having.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Good job, by the way, on your first time with us.
Oh, thank you very much.
Jeff, did you have something?
I just had two questions, and yes, I'll reiterate the thanks and good job on your first presentation, Mr. Arias. So, and this question may be for you or for Mr. Gent, and has to do with the exceedance of the fecal coliform. As we did exceed our permit requirements, is this a finable event, or is it still under review?
Mike, I can take this one.
Okay.
So this falls into the category that we have explained in the past. We have a 180 rolling day calendar. And so this would fall into the three strike rule. If you have three strikes in this 180 moving days, then you'll face a mandatory fine. And so this is one of those strikes, and by itself, based on our exceedances we've had this year, we're not facing a fine. But if we were to receive an additional exceedance, we are at two right now. I don't have the data in front of me when that first one will fall off the 180 days. But if we were to have a third exceedance right now, we likely would face a mandatory minimum $3,000 fine for each one of those occurrences beyond those first three. Actually, it's beyond three. I'm sorry, to just clarify a little bit. So it's three strikes, and then the fourth one is when they start fining you. So we do have a little bit of buffer. But yeah, that's the exceedance we had falls into that category directly.
Okay, great. Thank you for that explanation and the fact that we're still within that time frame. So great. Second question just has to do with the fact that we had a significant rain event last week, and just curious if there were any storm impacts that were acknowledged or noticed after the creation of this report.
So we did an extensive preparation for the event. I had staff come together. We actually had a meeting the day before. We reviewed some of our common procedures to prepare for a storm event. We reviewed a list that I had prepared for staff, and then staff did a great job of coming up with additional things to look at and items to prepare for that were not on the list. And they were, you know, things that just helped us throughout the storm event. The only thing that I would say that we noticed, we definitely noticed increased flows, but no issues at the plant. The plant ran perfectly throughout all 3 days. So yes, we were well prepared, and there were no impacts to the plant.
That's great to hear, and good job on the preparations.
Thank you.
That's all I had.
Okay. Reiterate too, Mike, that I know you and the staff worked very hard to prepare for the storm event, and I was quite comfortable, wasn't concerned, because I knew you guys had done everything you could to prepare. You did a great job, and I want to thank you. So we really appreciate it over here.
Thank you for that.
Is there any public comment on the staff report, district manager, and operations report?
There is still no public.
Okay. All right. Then there's no other comment from the board. Thank you again. And I really appreciate getting these pictures. Since we can't come to the plant, it's nice to see the pictures too. So I guess now we have a closed session on our agenda tonight.
I have a quick question about that. So Jeremy, it said we would come back to this Zoom to report out, but I'm unclear on how we restart the Zoom.
So I spoke with Bob Lloyd at AGP later, and he said just go back and click on the same exact link that you came in on, and this will still be running. And he did suggest that we should and ought to do that. And so when we leave the link that I sent maybe around 5:30 today for the closed session, we'll exit that, and then you'll have to go back to the link that brought you into this one, click on it and come back in, and Keith will report out any action items.
And then will AGP stitch those videos together before they put them up online? Is that how we do that?
Correct. Yeah. What Bob explained is he'll be recording the whole time, even this, and they'll clip out the that middle part.
Okay. So with that, I guess I ask for, do we announce what the closed session?
Yes, Madam Chair. We will now adjourn to closed session to discuss the item as described in the agenda.
Okay, is there any public comment on the closed session before we adjourn to closed session?
There is no public comment.
Okay, very good. All right, then. Hopefully we'll see you soon. I'll try to find them.
See you in a minute.
We'd say hit leave or just shut the viewer down?
You can click leave, Linda.
Okay. So... Maybe. We will, please.
Your audio stopped there, Linda, but you weren't muted, but your audio stopped.
Okay, I would just say, I just said that we resume the meeting, and if we could get a report from legal counsel out of our closed session.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The board, during the closed session, voted unanimously to approve a settlement agreement in the case that is agendized tonight and described in the agenda. In essence, the settlement requires that the mobile home that is the subject of this litigation be removed from off of and outside of the district's easement. The district is agreeing to allow a driveway to be paved within the space of its easement. And there are other financial terms of the settlement among the other parties. Separately, the board decided to direct staff, district administrator, to execute the settlement agreement and to approve the site plan for the driveway and the relocation of the mobile home unit, but only to approve the site plan as it is specifically applied for and not in any other way or any deviations from that which is applied for in terms of the site plan.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So with that, then we will move on to board member communications. Are there any board member communications?
Happy Valentine's Day.
Okay, happy Valentine's Day. Okay, and if there's nothing else, we can adjourn.
6:47. Good meeting.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Night.
Good night.